So now we're here on session one that'll give you kind of an overview of what the Bible basically program is really all about. And there's this reminder here to turn your cell phones off. I guess probably most of us like to use silent mode anyway, right? I kind of like silent mode, but there's a good reminder of that. The seminar has been reviewed by many people that have contributed in various parts of the world. And one of the things we're really indebted to is BiblePlaces.com. If you need images related to the Bible, this is the best place on the internet I know of. And Todd Boland, who's heading up BiblePlaces.com, has given us free access to a few hundred pictures that are part of this seminar from Bible Places, so we're really grateful to what he has done there. So the seminar is called The Bible, basically, meaning that we're going to cover both Old Testament and New Testament, and we're going to keep more of an overview of what the seminar is all about. And this first part here is opening up what Dr. Fryman calls the Bible file. Okay, which is a means to mentally manage the Bible. So here we go. Here we start, right here on this planet. Let's start the seminar with this one massive thought. Maybe I should say question. Okay, here's a long question. I want you to tell me what the answer to the question is. What is the source of every Christian doctrine? Every Christian belief system and biblically based book. What's the source in every seminary library, in every public library, personal library, university library, in every country in the world, in almost every language, and the biblically based thoughts of every believer and non-believer across the planet? What's the source of all of that? It is the Bible. It is the Bible. Christian belief is built on personal faith in this book. And the Word of God is actually an organized word from God that is the basic document of our faith. So I begin to understand this. I guess about age 16, after I'd been a Christian for about 3 years, one day it dawned on me. I was sitting in church, and I was watching my pastor preach, and I had this strange thought in the pew. I said, "Look at that. He's up there preaching. Everybody's listening to him. They actually paid him to do this. And they don't feel guilty about it. And he doesn't feel guilty about it. Wow, that's amazing. He gets to study the Bible and tell people about it and actually make a living doing it." That was the first time I thought, could I ever do that? Would people do that? And then not feel guilty about it? And I wouldn't feel guilty about actually making a living with this basic document of the faith? It was a life-changing thought for me that changed the whole trajectory of my life. Because what God did in my life in that moment is he helped me to see, of all the millions of books in the world, really the most important one, not just for you or for me, but for all of us, And I heard a speaker say, you know, we ought to invest our things in that which is eternal. And God's word is eternal. And it was a revolutionary thought for me. Wow. If all the millions of books in the world, there's only one of them that's eternal. Jesus said, heaven and earth will pass away, but my word will remain forever. Wow, maybe I should spend my life studying that book. So that was the beginning of that thought process. I remember going up after a seminar and asking, hey, can I drop out of high school and go and study this book in seminary? And the speaker said, well, you have to finish high school. Actually, you have to go to college first as well. And I thought, 7 more years? I gotta wait 7 more years to do this? You know. But those 7 years actually ended up being 10 years because I had 3 years as a missionary after college. But then I ended up doing it. I ended up having the privilege of going to seminary. Went to Dallas, Texas, and I had 3.5 years in my master's, and then I had 3.5 years in my doctoral studies. So 7 years total. I call it my 7-year tribulation. You know, and I'm now post-tribulation, you know, after that whole tribulation. And those are among the best years of my life, being able to study the Bible. They let me graduate with my doctorate because one of my evaluators, he said, well, Rick, we've evaluated you and we found that you are educated beyond your intelligence. So we're going to give you your doctorate. And I kind of looked at him, I'm educated beyond my intelligence? I'm not smart enough to know what that means. Which only proved the point. So they let me have my doctorate, and I came here. I've been teaching at Singapore Bible College the last 28 years since that time. Well, in her book, What the Bible's All About, Dr. Henrietta Mears, she wrote that, interesting, she said, most people's Bible knowledge is like a string of fine pearls. Right? You ever seen a string of beautiful fine pearls? But in most readers' minds, the bead string is broken. And the organized progression of the biblical storyline is disorganized and confused. So how can we restring those lovely pearls all together? How can we reassemble the pieces of Scripture and bring them together? So that like those pearls, we can see each of these beautiful stories and events in the Bible in its proper sequence. And we can relate them to one another in a way that's really cohesive. My guess is that you ladies don't have your pearl necklace just pearls spread all over your house, right? You kind of have them put together and you string them around your neck and it looks beautiful on you. That's what we want to do with the Scripture. We want to have some level of understanding the depth of Scripture. We're going to talk of some on the nuances of meaning. And I pray that based on Scripture, you'll find these deeper leadings of the Holy Spirit happen in your life better because you've come to the seminar. And that you'll understand better because of our time together, God's redemptive plan. You'll understand Abraham and ancient Israel. And then when we have the New Testament portion next year, the appearance of the Lord Jesus Christ and the birth of the church. But if you're like most Christians, even those things are just kind of filled with a whole bunch of questions. You've heard different sermons and different things from different people over the years. And if only we just had more Bibles, right? I know some of you are going, no. And it really doesn't help. Did you know the Bible's been translated into English over 50 times? 50 different translations in English? And it certainly has impacted the English-speaking world. But even a lot of English speakers are very, you know, it's sort of disorganized in their mind about the Bible. And that's where the problem begins. You know, it's like a huge unruly puzzle. Oh, the Bible has thousands of details, you know, over 1,100 chapters, right? It's got hundreds of characters in it. 750,000 words, 1,200 chapters, 31,000 verses, countless versions and translations. And some of the typical worries that people have are about, well, all those books, where what book was that in? And What about all those people? Over 3,000 people mentioned in the Bible, the dates. Who was it that said that? You know, why did that happen? Who did what? You know, I even find myself talking about Moses and the Ark, you know, and you know, and that kind of thing. Who relates to whom or what? And you just kind of like, Lord, help me. I know it's your word, but I really need help. I just, maybe you've been there. I just can't take it. I'll just let the pastor do it. And it can even lead to some level of apathy. Who cares? You know, we just need to apply the Bible. Just, we need to get to the so what question. What does it actually mean for my life? And we never actually get to the point of, well, what does it actually say? Before, well, what does it mean to you? You know, we jump to the application question too quickly. Miles Stanford, in his book, Principles of Spiritual Growth, said, unless our faith is established on facts, it's no more than just conjecture. It's no more than just superstition and presumption. Right? We need to know the facts. We need to build upon the facts, but at least we need to start with facts. So, an anchor point of our study is that we will not believe more than we know. And we will not live higher than our beliefs. This was what was said by Dr. Albert Mohler. I think that's true. Do you think that's true? So, I know it's true that people say, oh, well, there's more to life than just Bible knowledge. Agreed. But are you going to apply more than you know? Well, of course not. You have to come up, sort of like, you have to come up to some level of knowledge. We're going to apply it less than that. But nobody ever has a little bit of knowledge, but they have lots of application based on the little bit of knowledge. We have to grow. As I was preaching last week, grow in the knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. That's the last verse of 2 Peter. And so, here we go. And I hope you don't miss a single session. And I'm going to try to stay pretty close to what we've got in our little schedule here. So, if you're kind of taking your cues from your bladder, you can look at that and go, let's see, if I can just get that bladder to go right now, let's see, 20 more minutes. 20 more minutes and then we're going to take that bladder break. Okay? Right at 8:15. Okay? So here's what I want to do is I want to teach you a way of thinking. That's what the Bible basically is. It's a way for you to mentally manage the Bible. Right up here in your head, right? And the wonderful thing is, this is something you can teach to others. And it's even a good opening for witnessing as well. I get my students to do this. I say, hey, what I'm teaching you, tell them that your teacher said you have an assignment to go share that with someone and blame me. Okay, so blame the teacher. And then they go and they go share with non-Christians. And it gives them an opportunity. You know, non-Christians, most of them are really, really nice. They want to help you out. So if you say, hey, I got this assignment. My teacher gave me this assignment. And that's what I'm going to do. I'm going to give you an assignment to teach this to someone else. Okay, so you're officially assigned right now. Okay? Feel assigned. Consider yourself assigned. And then you can blame me and say, hey, my teacher said, oh, yeah, I have to do this. Can you help me out? And then you'll actually help them to get to know the Bible a little bit better. And hopefully the God of the Bible, the Jesus of the Bible. So we're going to start with first things first, and that is opening your Bible file. You say, what? Bible file? Yeah. It's a Bible file. I mean, you bring it everywhere you go. When you come to church, don't you bring your Bible file with you? It's about four drawers. You long, you know, you just kind of, it's a lot of, some of you have known the Lord for many years, and you just kind of push that Bible file right on into the church, and there you sit with all that Bible knowledge that you know about, you know, because after all, your preachers have been preaching to you for years, for many of us, some of us for decades, you know, about, I've been a Christian for, you know, 40-something years, you know. No, you know that really, actually, all that's in your head. You know? You have all that Bible knowledge. It's in there. Just open up one of those drawers. John the who? Well, if he's John the Baptist, well, we go to a Methodist church. So why would I want to listen to John the Baptist? You know? You know? And then Judge. You got judges in the Bible? What are these guys... What were they judging? Really? We got judges? And then, oh boy, that map of Israel. Where in the world is that place? I keep hearing about these things. I have no idea in my... And then, what? What's an epistle? Some studies have shown that some people believe that the epistles were the wives of the apostles. Kind of sounds feminine, doesn't it? You know, apostles and... Here, I'm awesome. My epistle wife. You know? But some people really have thought that. And then here's another one. What was Noah's wife? What was her name? Joan of Arc. It has to be a Joan of Arc, right? But it must be a... It's right in there. Second Hesitations 4:9. You know? So where do you begin to sort out all this information and misinformation? Because you know quite well that all the Bible teaching is not true Bible teaching. And especially if you go on, you know, YouTube, you can get all kinds of heresies. Before you stand up, you could find 100 heresies on your cell phone from YouTube. There's a whole... And so a lot of us just said, I have no idea where to even start with this unruly puzzle called the Bible. So let's start with the perfect number. In the Bible, 7 is the perfect number. So let's start with the number 7. And just to accommodate you all, I'm going to be non-American and put that little dash there. We never do that in America. Just want you to let you know that I'm trying to culture it here. You know, I have lived in Singapore 28 years. I'm trying to learn a few things. And then we'll have up in the corner of the slides here, we'll have kind of the bigger picture, that little dashed line through it that'll kind of help focus our minds on what part of the seminar we're talking about. So what in the world is that Bible file all about? Let's look at and see that the Bible file, maybe filing cabinet might be a better way to say it, actually has inside of it 10 folders. Just imagine with me, okay? You're going to organize your own Bible file in a collection of 10 mental file folders. We'll be putting labels on those folders, but the idea here is that every event in the Bible, you should be able to put in one of those 10 folders. Wouldn't you like to know how to do that? Every event, well, which one of those folders, where do I put David and Goliath? Where do I put Jesus and disciples, et cetera, et cetera? That's what we're going to do. So we're going to start with that number, 7. And we're going to put a C in front of it and an SJ after it. Okay? Will you say it with me? C7SJ. Again? C7SJ. One more time? C7SJ. There you go. There's the whole Bible. Now, you're probably as much of a doubter as I am, as I was when I first went to this seminar. Dr. Freiman said, there's the whole Bible right there. There's your memory device for the whole Bible. I went, who are you kidding? I have a PhD in Bible exposition. You can't sum up the Bible that fast. The Bible has a lot of stuff in it. And you know what? Dr. Freiman proved me wrong. He really did. So let's see if you can remember what it is. Okay? I'm gonna black on the slide. I want you to turn next to someone. You know, most of you are in pairs. You might have to sort of turn around a little bit. And I want you to tell the Bible memory formula, okay, with those four letters and numbers, right? See if you can do it. Someone right next to you. Did you get it? Did you go both ways? There you go. All right, now you're wondering, well, what in the world does all this stand for, though? I mean, you know, it's one thing to just by rote say, you know, C7SJ. Well, the seven we have to break down. And I know Singapore leads the world in, you know, primary school. Is it Sec 2 math? So let me teach you a little bit of math in case you didn't pass your O levels in math. Seven is also 4 plus 3. Okay, there's different ways to do it, you know, but this is the way we're going to do it here. 4 plus 3. So the seven is the 4 plus 3. And remember the little dash there. Remind you that there's like a 4 on the top and then there's a 3 below it. Alright? So, let's split that up a little bit. Okay, now let's say it together. C43SJ. Again? C43SJ. There you go. Now you're still wondering, yeah, and what does it mean? Oh good, I'm glad you asked. The C stands for creation. That's kind of in a broad sense, we're talking about creation. All right? The C is followed by four people. Four people that continue the narrative, going through Genesis and a few books after that. That will be followed by three societies. And believe it or not, that's going to get you through the end of the Old Testament. So just C43. Goes all the way through the Old Testament. We're going to throw in a little bonus here. We're even going to put an S for silence. That covers 400 BC all the way to the time of Jesus. Silence. Nobody said anything for 400 years. Do you believe that? It's actually nobody said anything in terms of prophetic revelation from God for 400 years. Would you believe that? Okay, that's a little more easy. And finally, the J, of course, means Jesus. So there's the whole New Testament. And when I heard that, I said to Dr. Fryman, I said, you're going to summarize the whole New Testament in one word? And he said, well, yeah, I'm trying to keep this basic. This is the Bible, basically. He said, well, what word would you use to summarize the New Testament? I said, I guess Jesus. He goes, okay, let's go with Jesus. It's really about Jesus, isn't it? So there it is, our C43SJ. All right? So let's say it together, okay? C for creation, okay? And then four people, three societies, S, silence, J, Jesus. Okay, like that. You got it? All right. Now turn to the person next to you and go through those five. Okay? Give the number and what they're actually talking about. You can do it both ways. Shy to raise your hands up. How many of you hate to raise your hands up? Put your hands up. See, I told you. Right there. Okay, so let's break that down a little bit. We'll have kind of different sessions on each one of these. So the C for creation, we'll talk about that a little bit. And then you'll kind of wonder, well, what are those four people? Who are those four people? Okay, so let me just answer that now. The four key people that we're going to study here are Abraham, because this creation is basically Genesis 1 to 11. Okay, creation in a broad sense, and you know, some of the events that happen after creation. Abraham then will bring us through pretty much almost to the end of the, the middle part of Genesis, you might say. And then Joseph will bring us to the end of Genesis, all right? So Abraham and Joseph, Moses, and that brings us all the way to the end of Deuteronomy, and then Joshua. So just knowing the sea and the four people brings us basically through the first six books of the Bible, where a whole lot of information has happened, all right? So if you notice the letters, A, J, N, J, Abraham, let's say them together. Abraham, Joseph, Moses, Joshua. Now there's two J's there, so that can get confusing. You may forget. So just remember, a judge must judge. Maybe some of you here are judges. If you're a judge, may I suggest that you judge? Because a judge must judge. Right? Judges are supposed to judge. Okay? So the four people are, let's say it again. Abraham, Joseph, Moses, Joshua. There you go. There's the A, judge, must, judge. Works pretty nicely in English. All right, so let's say the first five file folders now, together. Creation, Abraham, Joseph, Moses, Joshua. You got it. See, I have to keep looking up like this too to remember myself. Now, what about those three societies? How are you going to remember the societies or like the governments? Well, think back to your days in geometry. Did you like geometry back in school?
Yes.
Visual learners like geometry. I liked it, but I didn't like algebra, you know? Remember that little part of the circle that kind of goes like that? Remember what it's called? An ark. Not Ark of the Covenant, not Noah's Ark, but A-R-C, Ark. And that Ark is going to help us remember the first letter of the three societies. And those three societies are anarchy, that's for the A, royalty, that's the, you know, basically kings, and then captivity shows us the end of the Old Testament. Right. Can you guess what book Anarchy's for? The book of, comes after Joshua? Judges. The book of Judges. So there's our A-R-C. That's our mental tool to remember the three societies. So putting them like this in different colors can be helpful. So the creation is followed by the four people that we're putting in white. Remember, a judge must judge. And then we have the three societies. It's getting a little bit harder. I'm going to hit the black button here. Okay, turn to your neighbor and see if you can go for those first eight now. It's getting harder. Okay? Okay, so that's what we've got. Let's kind of review where we came from. We start from the number 7, put a C in front of it, and an SJ after it, kind of divide that 7 into 4 and 3, because the 4 and the 3 would refer to people and societies. And we've got silence and Jesus following. We've talked about the first 8 of the 10 file folders just a little bit. Silence will then follow. which is often called the intertestamental period, because you've got the Old Testament and the New Testament. So between them is intertestament. And then finally, it will end with Jesus. That's what we call our mental Bible file. It's right there up in your head. All right? And let's say it together again. Creation, Abraham, Joseph, Moses, Joshua, anarchy, royalty, captivity, silence, Jesus. There you go. Now, I know that a lot of us don't use file folders anymore. You have got computer files. So you put that on your computer and you kind of spread them out like that. Or maybe if you take your file folders, you'll spread them out like that on your desk. Silence and Jesus there. But people are using those kind of file folders less and less, because the world has really changed with all the digital stuff. And so now we actually put those on our computer. Did you know that you could be really disorganized on your computer? Some of you go, yeah, I know that. But if you put them nicely in a folder like that, you'd have creation kind of one, and then you'd have Abraham, Joseph, Moses, and Joshua kind of in another lineup, anarchy, royalty, captivity together, and then silence and Jesus kind of separately. So that will give you the C4-3-SJ. The four people and the three societies. Basically, giving us these 10 file folders, any event in the Bible, and even the ones between the Old Testament and the New Testament, can actually fit in one of these folders. That's your mental Bible file that's sturdy, that's comprehensive, that's coherent, and right here this is what we've covered, okay? Basically, we've covered the idea called the Bible file and the mental key to open it. Now, we still need to answer, well, what happened and why did it happen and what kind of influences were there on the shape and the content of Scripture? That's what we're going to kind of get in as we get to the study guides. So, here's your first folder. Maybe some of you have already your first study guide. If you go halfway through your notes, you'll see it starts on over at page 1. So here's study guide number 1, study help number 1. And this is your opportunity, if you want to do it. We'll take a little break right now. But this is your opportunity to fill in as much as you can. And then we'll take a break and we'll come on back together and talk about the next session. Okay? So let's take about a 5-minute break, and you want to do that, you're welcome to do that.